something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Well, and the theme music really makes sense right now because it is sort of a deja vu moment, because Ron Stone joins us right now on the phone from Los Angeles. And we actually attempted to have this conversation once before, but unfortunately, the night we were talking was the night that Michael Jackson died. And everything got sort of discombobulated. Everything got thrown off course. But tonight it makes more sense to have Ron Stone back on following my conversation in the last hour with Chris Anderson, who wrote the book Free, The Future of a Radical Price. So Ron Stone joins us. Ron is the president of Gold Mountain Entertainment. He's a manager of many of the biggest names, is currently or has at some point in his career managed people ranging from Bonnie Raitt to Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, the Eagles, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I mean, it goes on. Ray Davies from the Kinks. And as such, Ron, you are concerned with the income of these artists, which I'm sure since the Internet became a part of our lives, that has gone down in some form, I would guess. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Nicole. You know, that's true, but, you know, the real problem is not for the brand name artists, the artists that are successful, the big name artists, the Madonnas and Bruce Springsteens and U2s. They're well established. They're going to make lots of money. The situation with the Internet and the free distribution of music doesn't actually affect them as dramatically as it does the other end of the spectrum. After listening to Chris's interview, which, by the way, I thought he was terrific, and I'll get to the areas of disagreement. But in point of fact, what happens? excuse me. What happens with the up and coming artists? And probably the middle-range artists losing, you know, 50, 60, 70% of their income by virtue of the availability of their music for free. The crux of the issue is how do you fund the new up-and-coming artists in a marketplace that the only place you can make money is touring and merchandise if you can't get up on top of the recognition scale to have people buy tickets and come to your concerts. How do you find an entry point? The record companies are not going to invest money in new artists because they can't figure out how to make the money back. In fact, most of the record companies have turned to what they call 360 deals, which are incredibly bad for the artists because what they do is the record company takes a portion of the income from publishing, from touring, from merchandising, areas where traditionally the artist got the lion's share, if not all of the money in those areas.
Right, but what has happened is it's some of the major acts that have started the 360 model, right? I mean, Madonna.
No, a couple of those artists, you know, the Madonna situation and a couple of other people, were kind of compelled to go into that part of the arrangement because, you know, look, if somebody offers you more money than you can actually figure out that you're going to make, you'll make that deal. So if somebody offers you $100 million to give up a share across the board of all your income,
I'll do it.
me too.
Yeah.
But those 360 deals on a new and up-and-coming artist mean that whatever money the record company gives you to go and make a record and put out your record, you're basically going to be in debt to that record company or whoever funds the project. You know, there are alternative ways of funding the project. But basically, you're going to be in debt to whoever gives you that money pretty much your entire career.
Yeah, but okay, Ron, but let me ask you this. I mean, it's always been that way there where an artist, the day they set foot in the recording studio, owes the label money. I mean,
yes.
they have to...
But the label, rec-
Right. And so someone like a Jill Sobule, who you probably know, who's a friend of mine.
Who I love too.
But Jill put out so many albums. I think she was on Atlantic for years and never made a dime. And she finally,
Go ahead. Let me give you a sketch of what used to be and what is, okay?
Okay.
What used to be is you go into the record company and you take the money, which is basically an advance against your future earnings, and they recover it against your record royalties, and you find yourself, even with a successful record, in debt to the record company. But the record company invests in the marketing and promotion of your brand name. So if you have a successful record and you sell a million records, even though you may not find yourself free and clear of the record company for two or three albums, they've made the investment in your brand name, and now you can go out on the road and you can make $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 and eventually get free of the record company or renegotiate your deal from a position of strength as opposed to a position of weakness. So there's at least a way out. In the current situation, there's no way out, because you take the money from the record company, and then they take a portion of your income across the board. You never get out of debt. It's an incredibly bad deal for the artist.
But, Jill, talk about what Jill did. She found a way to finance her own record. She offered things online where people could buy shares, sort of. People could buy a place in the liner notes. One woman paid $10,000, a woman from London,
to come and sing on the record.
Right. And Jill raised about $80,000. Don Was produced the record. She owns it now, and every copy it sells, she doesn't have to share that with a label.
But she wouldn't be able to do that unless she already had fans.
Right, but there are many people who are...
What about an artist, Joe Schmo, who has no fans? How does he finance the making of his record?
Joe Schmo starts gigging around town and does a thing on MySpace and is very active and promotes the hell out of himself. The thing is, if he is that
Stop. There are thousands of bands out there on MySpace. One of the problems with the internet and MySpace and all those, it's like walking into a store with 3 million options. Something else has to bring your attention to that particular artist, something other than MySpace.
I agree.
Okay, so how do you get somebody to spend the money to market and promote your product on the radio, in newspapers, or anywhere, so they could find you on MySpace?
Well, I don't know, but it does happen. I mean, are you familiar with Ingrid Michaelson?
I am.
Okay, well, Ingrid Michaelson did it without a label behind her.
Okay, listen, what you're saying is that it can be done. And I'm saying to you, it's harder to do it in this environment than it's ever been for artists.
Or you can look at it the other way and say, look, we have this internet. We have a way to get things out where once one person can make their own music, put it up on YouTube, put it up on MySpace.
But they can't make a living.
But eventually, maybe they can. So
eventually, tell me one artist.
And Ingrid Michaelson.
No, she's made a name for herself. And maybe over the next 5 to 10 years, she'll have a career.
And if she had a deal with a label who made her a second priority person, she's not going to make much of a living either. Look at Jill Sobule.
Let me give you an alternative reality.
Okay.
Suppose the internet was in fact a place where new artists could sell their creation and get paid for it. So then the marketplace would determine who would become successful.
But who's going to buy it? How are they going to get the word out so that people are going to know they want to buy that record?
That's my point exactly. If an investor, whether it's your fans who send you money, or whether it's your mom and dad who finance your career, or whether it's an independent investor, or whether it's a record company or an advertiser, somebody has to make the investment to market and promote your brand name in the marketplace for you to have any opportunity to enter the game and be successful. Now, your point is that some people have done it. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, there's always the exception that makes the rule. But, you know, there used to be a marketplace where there were 50 or 60 record companies that invested in new artists, and they put out, you know, 50 or 100 records, and maybe two or three of them a year would become successful. And over the course of, I mean, and by the way, it's always been so. I mean, even in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, there are always a few artists in each decade that transcend the rest of the pack and survive to the next decade. And those are called successful artists. So in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, there were 50 or 100 artists that survived out of the tens of thousands that have put out product and attempted to have a career in the music business. It's dwindling. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's harder for new artists to find an entry point in the game because they can't get paid for their creation. And in your
But Ron, I would also argue that has always been the case. And yeah, while they may have gotten paid by a label, that was money they owed back to the label, so they were indentured servants.
Well, I made the example that if you sold a million records, you would still be in debt to the record company. But if you could survive, the first contract of 4, 5, 6 albums, then you had a career for 20 and 30 years.
But how often did that happen?
Well, surprisingly, quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, think about all the biggest artists in the world now. They all started in that system. There is not going to be another Bruce Springsteen. There's not going to be another Neil Young. There's not going to be another Bob Dylan because they can't get started.
Well, but there are also so many more choices out there. There are many more ways where people can find the music. It's not just radio anymore. There are different ways to discover new music. You know what? Ron Stone is with us. We sort of got a little off here, and I do want to get to your thought of how people should pay for content, copyrighted content. We'll do that when we come back. Nicole Sandler with Ron Stone on Air America Radio.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And we are back with Ron Stone of Gold Mountain Entertainment. He's an old friend of mine from my music days in Los Angeles, and he manages a lot of artists. And we've had this discussion before, and it made sense to talk again tonight on the heels of my interview with Chris Anderson about the book Free, because, Ron, you have been very outspoken. You don't think we should be getting copyrighted materials for free online.
Well, I think the artists and the writers, press people, authors, anyone who creates ought to get a fair return for their creation. And even Chris acknowledged that he would like to get paid for his magazine Wired, and he would like to get everyone who creates paid, but he also
said that he posts the content, the entire contents of the magazine online, and he's cool with people sharing that.
That's his decision.
Right.
He chose to do it.
Right.
Well, most of the musicians didn't choose to do it. It was done for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the point. That's the nub of the question. The question is, if you choose to give away your material for free, that's your decision. The Grateful Dead used to give away tapes of their show for free after every show. Didn't affect their career in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it enhanced their career.
Right.
But it was their decision.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line here is, first the industry kind of ham-fisted, tried to react and did incredibly stupid things. The RIAA started suing people for downloading and just were incredibly foolish and stupid about how they handled it. Then the pendulum has swung in the opposite direction, where everybody has embraced it and decided we can't beat it, so we're just going to give everything away for free. Neither of those two things actually work. But there is, in fact, a technological solution. And if you recall what Chris said, he didn't say it was impossible to monitor and value the intellectual property on the Internet. He said it would be extremely difficult and invasive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, I don't think if you go on a file-sharing website that your privacy is invaded because you're basically offering up your
right, but
computer.
For
hold
instance,
on, hold on.
I don't...
There's no, hold on, let me finish my thought.
Go ahead.
There's no expectation of privacy. So that can't possibly be an issue.
Right, but that's for people who go on file-sharing websites. What if somebody like me who doesn't?
Well, you know, I think the artist ought to be able to make a decision about offering their material for free if that's what they choose to do, but they also ought to be paid for it if they want to get paid for it. And there is, in fact, a technological solution. It is not perfect. There are going to be, you know, the aficionado Internet user who's going to be able to penetrate the system and find a way around it. You know, the way files are transmitted in bits basically can evade most of it. But right now, 95% of music is downloaded and streamed for free. And if you can turn the equation around the other way, where 75 or 80 or 90% of the music is paid for, and I'm not saying we should charge a dollar. You know, the truth is that iTunes charges 99 cents, but if there was a free market, if artists could put their own material up for download, they could charge 29 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about a
penny? And they probably could if they do it through their own site.
Yeah, and how about a penny for every streamed audio? I mean, you know, when music is played on the radio, ASCAP and BMI collect a performance royalty. When it's streamed on online sites that are signatories to the New Millennium Copyright Act of 2000, the artist gets paid, but they get fractions of pennies.
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But 95% of the income that could be derived from those sources are not, because it's so
right.
easy, because MP3 files are so malleable. But the truth is that...
Okay, Ron Stone, we're against the clock. This conversation will continue, I'm sure, because while many things are free, music shouldn't be. I agree. The artist needs to be compensated. Thank you for joining us again tonight. Ron Stone of Gold Mountain Entertainment. We'll be back and take on healthcare yet again. Don't go away.